Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, August 15th, 2023, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we're on page 100, the second paragraph, starting with, when working with a man and his family, through one paragraph ending, the blessed fact of his sobriety. Reading and commenting on this one paragraph only today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Mary P., 12 Traditions, Kara L. Reader of the text, Dana P., Deb E., and Kara L. The reference number for Monday, August 14th, is 20,536. That's 20536. And for this morning, Tuesday, August 15th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 20,538. That's 20538. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Loretta M., and Robin P. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can, through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. I'll now ask Kara L. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from California. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as we express Himself in a group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend or learn the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions.
8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create a service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always to maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Kara L., for reading the 12 traditions. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 100, the second paragraph, when working with a man and his family, through one paragraph ending the blessed fact of his sobriety, reading and commenting on this one paragraph only today. I will now ask Dana P. to begin reading.
Good morning. Thank you, Dawn. It's Dana P. I'm in California. When working with a man and his family, you should take care not to participate in their quarrels. You may spoil your chance of being helpful if you do. But urge upon a man's family that he has been a very sick person and should be treated accordingly. You should warn against arousing resentment or jealousy. You should point out that his defects of character are not going to disappear overnight. Show them that he has entered upon a period of growth. Ask them to remember that they are, when they are impatient, the blessed fact of his sobriety. Well, I have to say, I've never worked with a man and his family, but I do have an interesting story that hopefully I'll have the opportunity to share at the end here. And so anyway, I know for myself that when I'm sick and I'm in my disease, I'm very, very defensive about anything. So anybody that even brushes past me and or attempts to poke a stick at me, I'm going to fight. I'm going to come up fighting. So it's really important, I think, for us to realize how gentle we need to be with people, especially as sponsors to their sponsees. And I could relate to it in this way. You know, there's a gentleness and to be cautious in the beginning when they're newly sober. You know, and that's what he's talking about here where they say ask them to remember that when they were impatient, that the blessed fact of his sobriety. So, you know, really need to be patient and kind and gentle with people. And so reminding our sponsees also that they need to be careful with their family because it takes a long time. It takes a long time for the family to see the change. So, you know, I have to just continue with my own recovery and help the sponsee to do that as well. So to my story, I was fuzzy and I did ask her if she was willing to have me share the story. But she told me regarding a party that a granddaughter had baked. And as the fork was coming to her mouth with some splendid little treat that her granddaughter had made, her husband said, you know, honey, if you put that in your mouth, you're going to have to tell your sponsor. And he didn't realize that really what he meant was that you're going to have to explain what's going on and where your defects are. He was only thinking about her putting that cake in her mouth. And it was really a great opportunity for her to be able to do a 10th step without actually getting into the food. And I just think about that every single time. A man that I never met, a man that she had a resentment towards because he snored in her ear, came around to being someone that actually helped her so significantly in her recovery and continues to. So, you know, we just never know what God has in store for our recovery and how it affects the family and the people that we deal with and our own families. So I think I'm going to pass with that. Thanks so much, and love to hear what other people have to say.
Thank you so much, Dana P., for getting us started. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Wendy B.
Wendy B. Press star one if you'd like to share.
Barbara A.
Okay, let's get started with Wendy B. followed by Barbara A. Go ahead, Wendy. Please share with us. Let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And where it says you should take care not to participate in their quarrels, and they spoil your chance of being helpful if you do. And, you know, I see one of my roles as a sponsor is to be a support person for my sponsees. You know, they need to know I'm on their side, you know, that I'm, you know, but I also need to remember that to stay neutral about their family situations. I had one sponsee in my very early recovery who I wanted her to choose to leave her user boyfriend, you know, who kept wrecking her car and jeopardizing her job. And, you know, I became invested in a specific outcome. And, you know, and I did spoil my chance to being helpful to her. You know, I became too frustrated at the bad choices I believed she was making, you know, and I walked away. And so now in program, you know, I have to deliberately choose to not get attached to outcomes. You know, it's their life, you know, to live and choose as they please. And they're the only ones that can make choices and changes. And I get to just respect their path, you know, however many times they seem to need to make mistakes, you know, before they can learn a lesson. You know, it's not my business, it's God's. And, you know, God knows, you know, I have to learn the hard way, you know, by my mistakes too. You know, I have to relearn lessons, you know, all the time, because, you know, as an addict, I'm just very forgetful, and, you know, and I'm just so grateful for the grace, you know, that we learn to extend to each other. And I love the slogan, you know, live and let live. It's just really helpful. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Barbara A., please share with us.
Good morning. Good morning from California. When I listen to this reading and I'm listening to the sharing, I just think of myself. I think of not being selfish, but not participating in the world. Not fighting. This speaks to me about, number one, how I work my program and working with others. I'm a sick person. I recently had something happen to me where someone accused me of something, and it wasn't true. By my examination, it wasn't true. And I didn't react. I didn't call them out and say, "Fine, how could you say it?" I just listened. I didn't fight. I really had a true understanding that was coming from their perception. That was really different for me, not to take it personally. So when I read through this paragraph, when working with a man and his family, do not participate in his affairs.
I think of myself. I don't fight people anymore. I don't have to be right.
You should warn against arousing resentment or jealousy. I don't want to pit people against each other. Again, as someone just shared, that's between the person and their gods and who they're working with. I can only be a suggestion. I can only share my experience. Show them that they have entered upon a period of growth. I realize that every day in my own recovery. I am growing. I am changing. And working with others, I have the opportunity to expand my growth and to learn not to be impatient. The blessed fact of his sobriety. I think I share that with my sponsor and with my sponsees on a daily basis, how grateful I am for my sobriety. And the only way I've achieved that is by listening to this book and listening to this this program, listening to all of you. I cease fighting everyone and everything. My power is with God. I lean into him. I clean my side of the street. And I help others. Thanks for letting me share. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara A. from California. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who else would like to share in this paragraph? We're on page 100, the second paragraph. When working with a man and his family, reading through that one paragraph, ending with the blessed fact of his sobriety. So who would like to share with us?
Deb E.
Deb E. Who else would like to share? Press star 1 if you'd like to share.
Kara K.
Was that Kara K?
Yes.
Kara K. And was there another voice there?
Becky T.
Becky T.
Wendy M.
Wendy M. Okay, I have Deb E., Kara K., Becky T., and Wendy M., and what was that name?
Deanne R.
Deanne R. Okay, Deanne R., very good. So I have Deb E., Kara K., Becky T., Wendy M., and Deanne R. So Deb E., please go ahead, share with us, followed by Kara K.
Thank you. Hi, this is Debbie, recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. The first couple of sentences or lines in this paragraph are making me think of how many times I've thought I was being helpful and offered, you know, unsolicited advice or even just like, well, I guess it was probably all trying to make advice, not thinking it was advice, you know, just trying to. I think there's something in me that's still not gone that has a hard time with, like, things being uncomfortable, right? So what I learned very young was as soon as there's an uncomfortable situation, it's like I have to try to fix it. And that was done to me a lot. And so these first few sentences remind me of that. It's like, there's, you know, there's an issue going on. They might be quarreling. They might, you know, be disagreeing about stuff. And then my instinct would be to just step in and try to fix it all. But that's not my role. That's pretty much never my role unless somebody is asking for my advice or unless somebody's asking me for my help. And that's something I've had to learn in this program. You should point out that his defects of character are not going to disappear overnight. I like that reminder of, you know, it's like not only do we need to be reminded that we're not going to be healed overnight, that it's going to be a lifelong process that we continue to grow through, but that the family needs to know that too to manage their expectations. And I like the last sentence, ask them to remember when they are impatient, the blessed fact of his sobriety. It just makes me think of gratitude, of, you know, those moments where I just try to make sure I can appreciate all the little things that are so easily forgotten. You know, often lately I'll get into bed at the end of the day and I'm like, I just thank my higher power for like my comfortable pillow and my comfortable mattress and my comfortable blanket and like how nice and cozy I feel. And that not everybody, that's not a given, you know, not everybody has that. And so I like how the paragraph ends with this reminder to be grateful for the most important part here is that he's gaining his sobriety, you know, he's getting sober, he's getting better. And the other things are difficult, but it'll all, you know, it'll all work out. It will all, everything will kind of fall into place as long as he continues to live according to spiritual principles, that the family should be reassured that, you know, it will work out. And that's all. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Deb E. from Israel. Kara K., please share with us, followed by Becky T., and please let us know where you're calling from, if you'd like. Press star 1, Kara.
Thank you for that. Good morning. This is KRK calling, compulsive overeater calling from California. I love this share this morning. I heard a couple things that resonated with me. I liked the discussion about, you know, kind of trying to hold myself to, I guess I, in my position, I hold myself to a lot of goals and things that I'm attempting to get done. And same thing, I just have a tendency to want to just control it and make sure that those goals get accomplished. And I was listening this morning earlier to just kind of like, you know, what is peace and is it something for me and can I beat, you know, beat myself up? Am I not good enough? Am I, you know, all these feelings start flooding in. And then, you know, I get back to, again, just going, you know, letting it go down the river. Just take information in. Doesn't mean I need to respond to everything that's said. I can just pause, let that information go down the river, let people kind of come to their own answers. And this program has taught me that. It's taught me to pause. It's taught me to wait for other people to make, you know, suggestions and things like that, and to just come up with their own answers. And with families, you know, my own family, I've gotten much better. When I started, of course, I went to like make sure that my kids were all in line and they were accomplishing everything they needed. But at this point, now I just go and spend time with them and try to stay out of any judgment or any suggestions. And if they're talking about something or they start to give me too much input that starts to irritate me, then I want to run. But then I just pause and take it in and try to remember that, you know, take in the peace of the higher power and let that resonate with me. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing with us, Kara K. Becky T., please share with us, followed by Wendy M.
Hi, this is Becky T. in Idaho. I was struck with the understanding suddenly that the journey of growth is and can be intense even when there isn't a family to have discord with. I'm finding that I fight myself and God, and it's quite helpful to hear many of the things that I just heard today in the meeting. It's been allowing me to rest and get quiet, and quiet my own judgments, which are a lot of times from old lies. But when there's things to fight, whether it's in with other people or inside myself, the outcome is often the same in the sense of it stops me. It keeps me from the peace. It keeps me from being able to get up and do something different than what's happening inside of me at that time. And that was a pretty big aha for me, that when I'm doing something that I'm not liking a whole lot, like I think I should be doing other things, or this should be happening, or look, I haven't grown as far as it, and why is this stuff, you know, all that garbage that goes on. When that's happening and I'm allowing myself to shut down in it, then I'm not finding the freedom. And it's the same when I'm working with other people. They need to know that there's hope, that there is another side, that this is just a moment, and that we're not running the show, they're not running the show, but God is. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Becky T. from Idaho. Wendy M., please share with us, followed by Dion R.
Yeah, good morning. Hi, Dom. Thank you so much for leading us this morning. Awesome. So I have 11 days of abstinence. Thank you, God. And I feel like I'm on the other side. You know, there's like the darkness, and then it's like, you know, open the door, and then there's light. And even 11 days, you know, you can still feel that amazing feeling. So I just wanted to say that first. Okay, so the important word here is family, right? I was listening to a meeting last night. The hardest place for me, maybe not you, to work the program is family, like, you know, bar none. And the greatest word they have here is the word impatient, which is what I've been, which is what I'm working on, and to be patient with family members. And I was doing a two-way prayer this morning with God. I'm like, what do I do about mom? And God said, first and foremost, continue to be abstinent and work your program. That is your role today. You don't have any other roles. Your only thing that you have to do is remain abstinent and take direction from your sponsor and get conscious contact. And then it turns out when I am doing that, I can pick up the phone and call my mother and tell her, what did I write her this morning? Thinking of you, love you, mama, right? Like, I get to do that. I get to act as if it doesn't matter. If I'm taking care of myself, it turns out that I'm a lot more kind to my 18-year-old son, who, by the way, when I was in relapse, what, like 11 days ago, and I pick up, you know, the popcorn bag, and he grabs it from my hand and says, no, I won't let you do that again. And interestingly enough, I thought, like, all my, you know, weigh and measure stuff and all my food in the fridge and what's going on, I thought, you know, that was going to be a problem for family. They haven't said a word. They're probably, like, delighted. And then, of course, as people have said here, I love this. Remember the blessed fact of his sobriety. And, you know, part of being in the disease for me is focusing on the negative. Like, I wouldn't think, oh, he's got sobriety. I would think, well, what about this and what about that? And you didn't do that and you didn't do that, you know, and it's just amazing. It's like you turn on a light when you focus on the sobriety, you know, it is like a light bulb goes off, because I have a choice. I'm either going to focus on whoever it is, X number person, my sponsee, doesn't matter. I'm going to focus on all their defects of character, right? Because that's what the disease tells me to do. The disease is very interested in that. But this says, no, we're going to turn the light bulb on, and we're going to take a look at the fact that this guy is sober. And that's huge. We're in another world, right? We've gone from the dark to the light. And that's amazing. And the fact that we can focus on that blessed fact is recovery, right? Like, that's the recovery. If I can, you know, with my parents, with my mom, if I can think about what could I do today to be helpful to her? I'm on step two. It doesn't matter. How can I get to that light? You know, how can I get to the light? I'm sure that's my time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Wendy M. from Colorado. Dion R., please share with us, and then I'll be taking some more names if you happen to be just joining us. We are on page 100, talking about the second paragraph, when working with a man and his family, ending the blessed fact of his sobriety. So, Dion R., please share with us.
Yes. Hi. Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for doing the service. Thank you all for being on this meeting. And and the ones who share an experience sensing home and this listening, this sensing. We have a place where we can come and talk about our experiences of our stress and our hope. And just so grateful. This is what I'm hearing, this whole paragraph. I've never seen this paragraph as gratitude before, but that's what I'm hearing and seeing. A lot of gratitude. It's when I'm working with a family. It could be even my own family. Many people gave examples of how they felt for their family and things that, the gratefulness of family members being able to recognize it. So this program is my lifeline.
Excuse me, Dion. It's a little hard to hear you. If there's some adjustment you might make, we don't want to miss any word that you might be saying.
Okay, thank you, thank you, thank you. Glad you said that. Oh, it's that old Bluetooth thing again. I got to get another one. Can you hear me now?
Yep, that's better. Thank you so much.
Thank you for letting me know that too, Wendy. Thank you. Moderator, I know we took that Bluetooth off. That's what it is. But I'm sorry, they're just grateful for, that's what I'm seeing in this paragraph is what I'm hearing and seeing is gratitude. And I've never seen it before, but the part they said you should point out that his defects of character are not going to disappear overnight. Whew, been in this program since 1990, and am I perfect? No, by no means, but I get better. And the family sees that. And when I do my best to make amends, you know, follow the whole steps. And even when I make a mistake, times I relapse, whatever, I still don't. I knew where the answer was at. And my family knows where the answer is at. So if I say that I haven't been to a meeting or something, that's when they know something is wrong. That's my spiritual temperature. Something's wrong. She hasn't been to a meeting. She's either sick and ain't telling nobody or what. But the gift is I'm so grateful today that I have this program. I have family. I have a spiritual family. And I needed my spiritual growth before I can even show any physical growth. And that's still the same fact to this day. I got to stay in connected with you all. You remind me that I'm never alone. And you also remind me that we do recover one day at a time. I just want to just share that in, but just chime in and share that because that's what I'm hearing today is a lot of gratitude in that. Instead of focusing on what I don't have, what I didn't do, how people aren't, I can look at the good. And like they say, it's a little bit of good in every one of us. You know, if I look for it, I'll find it because if not, I'll get pessimistic, and I'd rather be optimistic than pessimistic any day. And I'm just grateful. Thank you for allowing me to see the good in me as my higher power. Here lately, you have me listing all my accomplishments because I forget about it when I'm into I want. I love that when someone shares. It's a warm blanket. You know, having these things, got my toes covered. Having my toes covered in a nice blanket feels good. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much, Dion R. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on the paragraph on page 100, that second paragraph starting with when working with a man and his family?
Debbie P. from NK.
Ivy S.
I got Ivy. And who else was?
Io.
Okay.
In Southern California.
Okay. Ivy and Io. Who else? Deborah G.
Debbie P.
Debbie P.
Janice K. New York.
Was it Janet K? And I'll take one more name. Oh, Janice K. And then I'll take one more name. I have Ivy, Io, Deborah G., Debbie P., Janice K., and one more name?
Margaret O.
So, very good. Go ahead, Ivy. Followed by Io. Go ahead, Ivy.
Yes. IV, compulsive overeater, and bulimic. This is a really good paragraph, and I was just feeling inspired to share. When I had worked the steps, and some pretty cool miracles happened in my life, and I was in a relationship that I did not think I would have in abstinence. And I remember my sponsor saying to me that when there were quarrels, to first discuss them with another recovered woman or herself, my sponsor, prior to acting or reacting. And that was such good advice because what I got to see one more time is that, you know, my perception can become skewed, and I needed to, and I still need to kind of run it through the filter of other recovered people, through the steps, and like what has been shared, like through my part in that. You know, and when I share it with my sponsor, she doesn't, you know, she helps me see my part. She also helps me see place like boundaries and advocating for myself, but she also helps me to see my part. And that's really good news for me because I would, you know, just be angry or, you know, self-pity, you know, like some sort of character defect. But when I can see my part in it, that's when I start to get freedom because that's the part that I can ask God for help with. And I like here where it says, pointing out the character defects for me. And, you know, and she reminds me that, you know, I don't rise above being human and that I do fall short on a pretty regular, pretty regularly. But that, you know, I'm abstinent and this is a new way of life. And because of just me, you know, coming to Overeaters Anonymous and getting abstinent and working the steps, things have changed. And I mean, really, it's like night and day just for me working this program one day at a time. Things in my family have changed that I just didn't even expect them anymore. You know, I thought the future held this plan and my higher power opened up these other opportunities. And I know that's totally God. Thank you. Who has performed miracles in my life. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ivy. IOA, please share with us.
Hi, this is IOA in Southern California in Irvine. Greetings, everyone. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I really like this passage because it has a lot of gratitude for being abstinent or sober. And I hear that this is about a sponsor advocating for a sponsee and advocating compassion. And I really like that message. And I like that the message doesn't have to do with the food, which is something that's really new for me, right? Like thinking about, I've always just wanted to stop the eating. And it's interesting when you have these passages that just off the top, the eating or the drinking's not there. But what you're dealing with are the emotional imbalances of dealing with life. And that's where I am now. Like, but what happens in my mind is whenever I have these emotional imbalances, somehow I think it's about the food, and I have to remind myself, no, it's not about the food, you're abstinent. But eating wasn't what was hurting people all around you. It wasn't what was hurting you at your job or in your family. The stuff that was hurting people at your job or your family has to do with your character defects. And what I hear in this passage is just a reminder that this program is so much bigger than the food. I remember hearing abstinence is just the beginning. And it's so true. It's so true. Like, I think about my food a lot more than my family does, but I know that my family will retaliate if I start trying to control them or harming them because of my defects of character. So I like hearing the compassion, the idea that someone would advocate for me with my family and say, you know, this person has come a long way and has a long way to go. And I think about how I might be able to impart that to a sponsee, but also how to remind myself that, wow, like, you're abstinent, but there's a lot of work to do in these defects of character that are not going to happen overnight. And these are the things that really, really impact people that you interact with every day. So I'm really grateful hear this and have, you know, this conversation. Hope everybody has a great day. Thank you.
Thank you so much, IOA from California. Deborah G., please share with us, followed by Debbie P. And if everyone takes a two-minute share, we'll probably be able to get everyone in to be able to share. So Deborah G., please share with us.
Oh, good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service. Excuse me, it wasn't me because I shared yesterday, so I want to give others their time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. Debbie P., please share with us, followed by Janice K. and Margaret O.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Debbie P. I'm from Indiana, gratefully recovering compulsive overeater. What I see with this paragraph, I don't get to work with the families much, as I've heard said this morning. But this is a good paragraph for me to remind my sponsees of where they're at when they talk of quarrels that they're having in their families. I don't get involved. I don't participate, but I try to give them the best program information. So how can they be compassionate toward their family members who are, seeing changes within them? And they don't know how to handle it. They don't have a program, at least not yet, most of them don't, to handle these changes. And so I try and remind sponsees about having compassion for their loved ones, which then in turn helps them to be a little bit more open for their higher power to get in and give them answers. And that's what I have to share about that paragraph, and I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Debbie P. from Indiana. Janice K., please share with us, followed by Margaret O.
This is Janice K. The first thing this paragraph pulls to mind is the statement back on page 83 in the transition from step 9 to step 10. There is a long period of reconstruction ahead. I understand the blessed fact of my abstinence. All my family may see is the incredible inconvenience it causes them. And I also see in this paragraph that the early founders were doing kind of a 12-step based family counseling thing. I can't imagine how difficult that would be. Oh, boy. So that is basically what I was going to say. There is a long period of reconstruction ahead. I know what the blessed fact of my abstinence causes in me. I see the difference in me. It may take months before they see it. And my job is to trust God, clean house, and help others. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Janice K. Margaret O., please share with us.
Hi, this is Margaret O. from Connecticut. Thank you, Dawn, for your service and everyone for being here. This is a great paragraph. It really helps me to understand the role of my family in my recovery and how they do impact me. And I was bulimic from my teens and through my 20s and 30s and before I found program. But my family didn't know it because I did it in secret. And a lot of them were out of the house. I'm the youngest of six by the time it started. But and also the other thing done in secret with my family was pushing my feelings down with food, because that's what I do with food. If there's something I don't want to feel, I find myself making a trip to the kitchen. So this paragraph makes me think about the character defects of one is wanting to be right, especially with my family members, and then also defensiveness with them, because I don't feel emotionally safe with my siblings. I don't have a husband or kids. pardon me. But I also have realized, I went to confession last weekend and the priest told me, I said, I'm having trouble letting go of resentment. I'd heard this in a Harlan G. Podcast about the doctor's opinion. He said, unwillingness to let go of a resentment is going to be an obstacle in your recovery. And I told it to this priest, and he said, unforgiveness gives the other person power over me. So even when they're not around. So I think of that, and I guess if I really want to let God run the show, that it's my pride that causes me to want to be right and makes me feel defensive. You know, it's like I have to defend something, some part of myself that I need to justify to everyone else. And it's just, it's the disease. It's part of the disease that separates me from people and creates barriers. And the truth is, I'm not perfect. I'm a work in progress. And if I can just remember that and let God run the show, my life will be better. My family's life will be better. Our relationships will be better. So that's all I need to say. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Margaret O, and to everyone who shared, making this meeting just really special. Thank you so much. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Deb E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.